is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
All right, final hour of the program. And Dr. Richard Pan will join us shortly.
Already two bogeys for our guy, Justin Rose.
Yeah.
Got a birdie, but
well, it's interesting. Bogues. So he's at plus one today. Birdied one, bogeyed one, birdied two, bogeyed four. He is now on six. But here's what's interesting. He started out plus two yesterday before catching fire on eight with that eagle. And when he went eagle, birdie, birdie, par, birdie, birdie, par, birdie, 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 that... Just to do that at Augusta is pretty insane. But he is at 6-under. Bern Weisberger at 4-under. Mark Leishman at 3-under today. And 3-under for the tournament. And now you see more people teeing off. Tyrrell Hatton actually is playing really good golf right now. And he is 1-under for the day. He's in 6th place in a large tie with, amongst others, Webb Simpson. And don't, whether you love him or don't, do not count out Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed's game is very well suited for Augusta. And he's sitting there right now at 2-under, just 4 off the pace. He tees off at 11 a.m. Our very own Cameron Champ sitting in a tie for 14th place. He is at even par. And should he even just repeat that performance today? Although it looks like. The course has given up a little bit more scoring today than it was yesterday, although not for Vijay Singh, who is 7-over through 13 and at plus 14 for the tournament. He will not make the cut, the former Green Jacket winner. But if Cam Champ repeats yesterday, today he will make the cut and go to Saturday and Sunday. One guy who always makes the cut for us, that's not a good analogy when you talk about a doctor, but you get my point. He always comes through in the clutch. The one, the only, state senator and Dr. Richard Pan. Good morning, Dr. Pan. How are you?
Okay. How are you doing, Dave?
Good. Good. I was saying it's funny that you're on today because today I know you hear different things, day 28, day 29, whatever. Today is the 30th day after I received my my shot, and I had it marked on my calendar along with my wife as you know, the day where I get and I'm aware, as you know, that, hey, battle's not over, and there are still precautions that need to be taken, but it's a good feeling to have that vaccination all taken care of, and we've been reminding people all week long that places like UC Davis have opened up vaccinations for everybody 16 and over, and in just a few days, everybody should be open in California. So I guess that's a little bit of positive news. We're trending in the right direction, I hope.
Yes, we are, but we still have a ways to go.
Yes.
And I'd remind people that we're coming toward the end of spring break. And so that means some people might have been traveling, maybe even out of state. And there are spikes in different parts of the country, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Minnesota, and so forth. So this is not the time to be too complacent. So it's great we're getting lots of people vaccinated. If you're vaccinated, you're protected against hospitalization and death from COVID. Yay. But we still have a lot of people who haven't been vaccinated as well. So I think we're vaccinated about, 25% of people in California, 25%. And then we have another 20-some percent who've gotten the first dose. But that's still less than half of Californians. And of course, we are opening up, but the vaccine supply is still, compared to the number of people want it, is still short. So when we say you can sign up for the vaccine, doesn't mean that you can get it right away. It's a signal to all the vaccinators that we can start giving it to people starting on the 15th who are 16 years and older, assuming they have the Pfizer vaccine. If it's Moderna or J&J, it's 18 years and older. But people can start signing up, and it may still take some time before we can actually get those people vaccinated, just given the supply issues.
916-339-1140 is the text line. If you have questions for Dr. Pan, also if you're in the YouTube chat, can ask us as well. One person asked this earlier, and I know this is fairly specific, putting you on the spot, but just curious. Question for Dr. Pan. My fiancée got the Pfizer vaccine, and ever since she's been experiencing SVT symptoms. Is there any research on people getting SVT due to an allergic reaction from the vaccine? I looked it up. Supraventricular tachycardia. I think I got that right.
Yes.
So just for people listening, I know you know that. But anyways, do you know anything about that?
So far, there are no safety signals that the Pfizer vaccine causes SVT. And we have to keep in mind that we do ask people to report if they develop symptoms after they get their vaccines. They monitor to see if those things happen more frequently in people who have gotten the vaccines versus people who haven't gotten the vaccines. And so far, there is no indication that SVTs are associated with the vaccine itself.
I want to ask you again. We do this question about once a month. This came up in one of our chat rooms earlier. Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer. We've talked about preferences some people may have. Hey, I want the Pfizer. Hey, I heard about Moderna. And you and I have had many conversations about how, I don't want to say they're all three the same because they're not, but when it comes to the important things, again, correct me as always if I'm wrong, they're all about the same.
Well, they're equally effective, which means so far we know 100% effective at preventing death from COVID infection, and pretty much almost the same for reducing severe hospitalizations, in other words, having to be hospitalized in an intensive care unit. So that's really the most important thing you need to know about the vaccines. They are all equally effective in protecting you from COVID, from becoming from dying or becoming very, very sick with it. You can there's still a possibility that if you get COVID, you could have mild symptoms and so forth, but you're not going to die from it.
Another question coming in. Again, not everybody listens every weekend, but this is, or every Friday, but this is something we've talked about quite a bit as we are joined by Dr. Richard Pan. How long does the vaccine last? Will you need more than one shot after you've been vaccinated? Let me give this a try. Let's see how well I've been paying attention.
Okay.
The vaccine lasts as long as it lasts, and right now we're in real time. So what we do is we look back as to when the vaccines were first widely administered, and we look at that group to now, and let's say it was X months ago, that's how long it lasts until we start seeing people who have been vaccinated starting to get COVID or become susceptible to COVID. We don't really know how long it lasts other than it lasts X long, and every week and month after we can add to that. Am I in the ballpark?
You're essentially right, yes. So, for example, you've probably seen some news reports. The Pfizer vaccine lasts at least 6 months, and the reason it's at least 6 months is because it's probably about 6 months since the trials wrapped up. You know, do you think today is we're beginning of April. They wrapped up the trials in the fall, got approved in December, and so that's as long as we know. So, basically, the vaccine so far has been as effective now, fully effective as long as we've been able to follow the vaccine. And so when it's 9 months out, we'll see whether it's last 9 months. And when it's a year out, which will be, you know, back in the fall, we'll see whether it's effective a year out. So but it's so far, it's as effective as it's been around.
Some people are talking about vaccinating. Some people are talking about laminating their vaccination cards. I've heard many times that the cards, people are worried that the cards are very forgeable. You know, it's not like we're dealing with barcodes and holograms on this. And some people, just because they may travel, et cetera, they want to laminate their card so that they it makes it less likely to ruin it. But I've also heard other folks, Dr. Pan, say, don't do that. If you need a booster, you're going to need that card to put the extra stamp on it. What's your advice when people say, hey, I want to laminate my card?
Probably not time to laminate the card. We don't know if there might need to be boosters in the future, and they would probably want to document it on that card. Otherwise, you're going to be carrying two cards around. So I guess if you've laminated your card, they could certainly give you another card, and then you carry both cards. You show you had your original vaccine and you had your other one. But probably suggest not laminating your card. Some people talk about just taking a photo of the card and storing it in your iPhone or whatever, or Android, whatever phone you have, and that you could certainly show that image as well. We haven't created standards for certifying who's been vaccinated or not, and I think, you know, there's a lot of talk about vaccine passports and people getting all excited about them, whether supporting or opposed to them. But that may be something we may want to consider is how do we certify someone's been vaccinated or not so that there's accurate information. As long as you want to provide that information to someone, you know, we're not interested in just putting out lists of people. That's I don't want anyone to get paranoid about that. But if you want to be able to say, hey, I've been vaccinated and here's my proof, we perhaps need to figure out a system to allow you to do that. So instead of everyone worrying about laminating or not laminating their cards.
I am curious, Doc. I'll ask you to put your state senator hat on now. Mm-hmm. I personally have often said, hey, I'm all in favor of vaccine passports. I actually kind of like's the wrong word, but like the idea of, you know, certain things. I like anything that encourages people, unless they have legit medical exemptions, obviously, to becoming vaccinated. And the quicker that happens, the more widespread it happens, as you said, the closer we get to community immunity and the closer we get to real life. But I am curious if something like that, for example, were to come up, and obviously it depends on how the bill was written, and it's an unfair question, but where generally philosophically do you stand on the idea, if not of a vaccine passport, of businesses, concert halls, arenas, limiting attendance to those vaccinated only?
Well, first of all, I should just say that we've had, whatever you want to call them, vaccine passports or vaccine certification, we've had that. We've had it for a very long time because to travel to particular countries around the world, those countries have required vaccinations and they require that you provide proof of those vaccines. We've also required that people prove their vaccination status. For example, I've trained as a pediatrician. They certainly didn't want any of us getting kids with cancer sick who have suppressed immune systems. So we had to prove we had immunity to diseases like chickenpox and measles, which could be really deadly to those patients, that we would not be able to transmit those types of infections to those patients. So we had to prove that we were vaccinated against those conditions. So this is nothing new. As far as your second part of your question, I would just say is that you know, businesses do have a responsibility to have a safe workplace. Also, businesses may benefit from having the ability to tell their customers or the people they serve or the people who are attending their events or venues that it's a safe space, and that may include being able to make statements about the, you know, vaccination status of the people who are in that space. And therefore saying that if you want to enter my venue or event, or if you want to be in this workplace, you need to show that you've been vaccinated. Certainly, they also need to make accommodations for people who are unable to get vaccinated. And I would just point out right now, vaccines aren't available to everybody yet, and we're still going to take some time before we make vaccines available to everyone, both in terms of supply and availability. So it may be a little premature to do that right now. But they're moving forward, especially if there becomes a high rate of refusal that prevents us from containing this virus. A business may decide that part of their strategy to assure for their customers to be safe is to require people to show some evidence of vaccination. And also, again, they are responsible for having a safe workplace as well.
It just seems, I don't know if we need a PR firm or a marketing firm or something to kind of explain the difference, but I see people, especially on social media, just losing it over the idea of a, quote, vaccination passport. But my goodness, driver's licenses, passports themselves. I mean, there's so many examples of not only getting vaccinated as a kid, not only needing vaccinations to visit this country or to visit many other countries. Anyone speaking on that has obviously never been to many places overseas. Try going to Africa and see how many vaccinations you need. But also the worry of the, you know, show me your papers. Is this 1940s Germany? I mean, you hear that all the time, but we already do a lot of that stuff, Doc.
Well, first of all, when you talk about show me your papers, that's about trying to track people, right? Government trying to track people's movements and who they've been associating with and so forth. And that's a far cry, and that's certainly not what what you call it, vaccine passports are about, right? It's about actually providing people accurate information. So let's say a business can be able to make the right decisions about how it wants to keep their workplace safe and also how to protect their customers if they choose to do so, right? It's about ensuring that we keep safe spaces, that we don't create situations where we have a spread of disease, yet we don't provide the kind of information necessary to limit that disease while still allowing people who are responsible to have the freedom to be able to do the things that they want to do. And so, vaccination is, for most people, is going to be a choice. Again, right now, we know there's people who want vaccines who can't get them, so it's not, but eventually vaccines will be a choice, and that choice has consequences. And those consequences are really about the safety of the people around you. And so we make lots of decisions telling people they can't do certain things, like you can't, you can certainly, if you want, take a drink at home, but if you want to get in your car and drive on a public road, well, that's a little different because you put other people's health and safety at risk when you do that. And so we do have rules to try to keep people safe.
Dr. Richard Pan with us. Let's talk about masks right now. You're hearing different studies that are talking about people who have been vaccinated and have passed the point where it all completely takes effect, and whether or not they can transmit the COVID to others. Where are we on that? And are we leaning towards a certain direction on whether or not vaccinated folks can still transmit and need to wear masks?
So people who are vaccinated, it appears from the data that we have so far, are much less likely to transmit, but it's still possible, right? And as I said, very rarely is anything 100%. So happy to say that right now the data shows that 100% of people who get the vaccine don't die of COVID. But as I said, very rarely is anything actually truly 100%. So, and as long as there's still a lot of the coronavirus around, there's always going to be a risk that even someone who's vaccinated is going to catch the virus. The good news is if you're vaccinated, you're not going to get really sick with this virus. So that's your own protection, but you can transmit it to other people. And that's why we're recommending that people who are vaccinated still wear masks, because masks help prevent you from transmitting the virus to other people. And we need to get the amount of virus in our community down, way down. And the lower it is, the less likely anyone, whether you're vaccinated or not, is going to be able to transmit the virus. So until we get the number of cases much lower, it's certainly a very good idea for everyone, vaccinated or not, to wear masks. If it's really, really low, then there may be some question about, well, if you're vaccinated and you have a much lower rate of transmitting the disease and the amount of disease that's out in the community so very low, it's very unlikely you'd actually get exposed and then catch that virus unknowingly, then we may talk more about not wearing masks. But frankly, just wearing a mask doesn't limit your ability to, say, attend a sports game or do a lot of different, go to school, do a lot of different things. More challenging if someone wants to eat or drink, like go to a restaurant or a bar. But generally mask wearing is going to be a very important part of helping us stop this pandemic earlier.
Last thing for you, Dr. Pan, I'll go back to the text line. Texter writes, I have a 1- and 3-year-old. I have heard that there is a more contagious strain of COVID-19 that has been hitting younger people. Is there anything to that?
Well, we do have these variants, and I'm trying not to use place names. It's B.1. Anyway, so we do have these variants that seem to be more infectious, and there's some indication it may be more infectious in younger people. Now, the other challenge is that we've been prioritizing vaccinating people who are older, so we're actually seeing, in terms of cases, more cases in children and younger people, people in their 30s, 40s, so people who haven't been able to get vaccinated yet. And so when we see the spikes happening in, like, Michigan, those other places, it is in this younger population than previously, because we got many people who are over 65 vaccinated. So it is something to be concerned about, and that's why we all need to work to try to get the total number of cases of this virus down. Again, masks are great because they don't care which variant it is. They're equally they're still effective in stopping the coronavirus. But as we get people vaccinated and people continue to wear masks, hopefully we can drive the number of cases down really low, and that will provide protection for the people who can't get vaccinated, which right now unfortunately includes children because they're not approved for children yet.
Dr. Richard Pan, Dr. Pan MD on Twitter. That's Dr. Pan MD on Twitter. And you can also check out his website, Dr. Richard Pan. Again, drrichardpan.com. Doc, appreciate it. It's invaluable. And thank you for. Sorry, by the way, I was asleep last night when you texted.
That's okay. It was rather late.
I got to get up at 3:30. But thank you as always. And you have a wonderful week.
All right. Take care. Have a good week, everyone.
All right. Thank you. That's Dr. Richard Pan. He did his check-in text last night. I got it this morning. It's 11:55.
Ooh, that's late.
And then so let me ask you.
Me?
Yeah.
Yay.
I want your advice.
Okay.
So I got it, and it was about 4:05 a.m. when I read it. And it was a text last night, 11:55, just confirming today. So here's the question. Do you immediately text back acknowledging the confirmation because he's coming on at 8:05, or do you wait till like 7:40?
I wait till like 6, actually. Sometimes Dr. Pan gets up early.
Yeah, I text him right back. I didn't know what to do. I was just like, all right, well, I got it, and I'm texting back, and I hope
I think at some point if you text an hour or two before the segment, you're fine.
I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what the polite thing to do was.
Well, that's why I'm here.
I should have called you.
I was up. Listen, the alarm goes off at 3:45, but let's face it, the eyes open at 3:30, and it's like, damn. And it's always on Friday that it's the toughest. We were talking about this, Monday through Wednesday, good. Come Thursday or Friday, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, you do start to.
That mental fatigue really kicks in.
Anyone that has a job that requires you to regularly get up before, I don't know, what do you think the magic number is, 6?
That people average get up?
No. I'm saying anyone who has a job that requires them to get up, and I'm trying to think of the magic time. What I'm saying is you're a little off because you're not in sync with the world. Like, it's not natural to get up at 3 in the morning.
No.
It's not natural to get up at 3:30 or 4 in the morning. That's just not –
Some would argue 5.
I think some would argue 6, but I was wondering what the magic – I think it's before 6 a.m.
Yeah, before 6 a.m. is not natural. Again, 6 a.m. is another one. You know, if you're going off 8 hours, that means you'd have to go to sleep at 10. Let's face it, most people aren't doing that. Probably going to sleep around 11 or midnight. So you want a full 8 hours, that's 7 or 8. It's just, ugh. Here's the way to do it. Uh-huh. If you get up before the sun does.
Yeah, that's not good. I don't think the human body's supposed to do that.
It's not. All right. But here we are.
Here we are. We'll take a break.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right. I'll catch up during the break on what MC and Chris are arguing about. We will get news with Ed Crane, Once in a Blue Moon with Jay Mars, and I'm sure we'll whine about the Kings a little bit more. Last half hour is next.
Got something to say? Text the show at 916-339-1140.
The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
You don't have to touch. I'm giving you the day off. 3-day weekend. We were talking about getting up early, Jay. But then I wonder, like, Chris is in the YouTube chat every day, and I love him for it, as are many others, like Robert, like Christy, like MC.
Rudy.
Leland, Rudy. And many.
Punchface?
Of course I'm going to. No, he's not in every day.
Punchface is in just about every day.
Most every day, but not every day. And if I forgot you, I apologize and say I forgot you and yell at me about it, and I'll mention you. Why does Chris get up this early? He doesn't do anything. No, I mean that with all respect. Like, he doesn't do anything. Why does he get up this early?
Out of boredom.
I mean, I love that he does, and he can make me feel really bad if he's like, I don't need to get up this early, but I do listen to the show. But he doesn't do anything. He makes what did he do? What did he build the other day? A birdcage or something at his house? He was telling us about.
I know he's built decks, fences, tomato gardens.
So basically, here's what I know, Chris. He builds stuff around the house randomly. He smokes incessantly. He has a wife and a kid, and he
and kids.
Kids,
And I think they parent him to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah, I think so. And he wants to change the Kings to the Dragons. That's my bio on him. If we were making a sales bio, that'd be kind of funny, actually, to do that on the YouTube chatters. I want an answer to that. Why does he get up this early? Didn't do anything.
It's messed up.
I mean that. I mean, I'm jealous.
Stay-at-home dad.
Well, good for him.
The job.
No, it's not. A stay-at-home mom is a job.
Stay-at-home dad's
Stay-at-home dad is not a job. Just kidding, stay-at-home dads. I was a stay-at-home dad for like 6 months. Or a year. It sucked. Oh, it really sucked. A lot of them were like, I got to spend quality time with my children. No, okay.
Nothing will make you want to go to work quicker than your kids.
All right. All right, once in a blue moon right now.
Once in a blue moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
Hey, that's me.
Hey, that's you.
All right, let's talk about our boy DJ, Dustin Johnson. Mm-hmm. His streak of 11 consecutive rounds under par at the Masters ends as he finished +2 in the first round yesterday. It's the longest such streak in Masters history. Last year, he had 4 bogeys en route to the green jacket. Yesterday, he played 4 holes over par in his opening round.
Yeah, I still think if DJ's on, no one's got that game.
If.
I don't know that he's not on right now. Listen, he kind of fell apart a little bit towards the end there.
What time's he tee off today?
Time does, old Dustin, friend of the show, Dustin Johnson.
The great Dustin Johnson.
Good buddy, Dustin Johnson.
His parents liked my name so much when they named him, but they didn't want a copy, so they put the D instead of J. Justin. Hey, now.
He is at 2 over, tied for 30-30, tees off in exactly 2 hours, 10:36. Cameron Champ, if you're wondering, he is tied for 14th right now at even par. He tees off in just over an hour at 9:48. Update. Justin Rose is now at +3.
Ooh.
4 under par. Bernd Weisberger, Mark Leishman, and Brian Harman, along with Hideki Matsuyama, all grouped up at 3 under. Weisberger's 5 under for the day. Augusta's given up some scoring. Jordan Spieth, through 2, is now 1 under par. He has moved up to 6th place, just looming. Many people's pick to click.
This guy.
Won the
one right here.
Valero Open last weekend and rolling right into Augusta. Last night, by the way, just in case you're wondering, after the Kings game, I put out a poll. 1,000 people responded. Should I talk about the Kings at all tomorrow morning? The answer, 69%, I'm not making it up, said no.
Nah, they don't count.
Wow, 69% of our listening audience doesn't count. That's from Jay Mars.
No, that's your Twitter audience. Not all of them listen. Some of them just hate follow you. Actually, a lot of them, I think hate follow you.
A lot of them actually hate follow me, exactly. Also, yesterday, which is more prestigious, a gold medal or a green jacket? What is your answer?
By gold medal, we're saying Olympic gold medal.
Olympic gold medal. No, gold medal for eating the 20-pound hamburger at Happy Steak.
Yeah, that's for sure more important than a green jacket. I thought about this at length yesterday, believe it or not, because I'm like, they're so, let's be clear, they're both extremely prestigious.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the green jacket, mm-hmm. just because there's one each year. And I get it, the Olympics every 4 years, but, there's multiple medals, there's multiple medalists, there's multiple events. I get it. If the green jacket is 1A... Is it fair to say for me the gold medal is 1B? Like, I mean, they're essentially the same thing in that sense. You're the best to do what you do.
Here's the deal.
Is the Masters, you think, the biggest accomplishment as far as the four majors? If you had to rank the four majors.
Not close.
Okay.
Some people would say, the Open is, meaning the British Open. No, mm-hmm. it's not. The Masters, the Green Jacket, that's the one.
Not the Tour Championship.
No. Oh, God, no. Tour Championship is 4th. It would
really?
It would,
I also it would the it, Open is
no it would go Masters, the Open, the U.S. Open, the Tour Championship. Then I'm putting my hand way down the FedEx Cup. Like, that's when you get paid the most for. But
sure.
we're talking about being prestigious. 70-some-odd percent. I turned the page here, but 70-some-odd percent say a gold medal is more prestigious. I will tell you this. Your answer is the correct one. The green jacket's more prestigious than the gold medal. Here's why. Some would argue, hold on. Gold medal only happens. You only get one once every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you only have a very finite ability to get that gold medal. And that means you're the best in the world at what you do. And I'm not immune to any of those arguments. Here's my argument. There are 87 green jackets that have been awarded ever in history.
Period. That's kind of where that's...
There are more gold medals every Olympics awarded than green jackets in history. That's it. Now, you can make that case to a lot of things, but in you're also talking about the top prize, the most prestigious prize in all of sports. It's a lifetime prize. You get membership to the most exclusive club in the world. You are part of an exclusive group. You know, the Heisman Trophy is probably on the Mount Rushmore in that conversation, but the college football is not a worldwide sport.
No, golf is.
The Masters isn't just the number one award for Americans. It's the number one award in golf.
Would you say then the equivalent of that in team sport is the World Cup? Soccer. Most popular sport in the world.
Probably. Without thinking about it at too much at length. Probably. All right, let's go back to the Kings here. Unfortunately, not by choice, but that's what we got to do. Here's a friend of the show, Luke Walton, last night after the game.
Well, let me start by saying that's absolutely unacceptable. The way we came out and played the game of basketball tonight, it's not okay. It's disappointing with all of us. Look, we're in this together. I'm not putting blame on anyone but the group as a whole. It is just, there's no way coming off a good hard practice that we, you know, that's the effort we get. I mean, they pushed us off our spots. They were more physical than us. They manhandled us in that first half. And then finally in the second half, we show some life. And it's not the appropriate way to play the game, to respect the game. And that is very frustrating and disappointing for all of us. And it's, you know, we got 20 games left, and we have to find it, because that's not okay for anyone.
Yeah, Luke. I mean, as a former player yourself in this league, when you see a team lose to the two worst teams record-wise in the league, and I know, you know, you can lose to anyone in any given night, but how much do you want that to bother your team?
A lot. And not that they're the worst. I mean, this same team maybe not the same team, but they beat up on Washington a couple nights ago. Like, everyone is good. But the fact we've lost four, now five in a row, and we came out and gave this type of effort in the first half, it should burn. It really should. No, there shouldn't be a lot of people getting good night's sleeps tonight, because if it means this much to you, if it means what it should mean to you, you shouldn't have an appetite, and you shouldn't be able to sleep. You know, you could live with one, you know, occasional games like it, but not after losing four straight, getting ready to go out to Utah and New Orleans. It should bother us.
That's Luke Walton. And I wish I had more of the sound, because he actually got even more frustrated. You know, he wasn't yelling and screaming, but it's the most frustrated I've ever seen him. And let's talk a little bit about that when we get back. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, what's on tap? And we'll get into it for the weekend, along with a crossover. All coming up, final segment of the program for the week, right after this.
Hey, let's go, come on!
Uh-huh. It's What's on Tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap. Brought to you by
literally anybody but the Sacramento Kings, or anything, or anyone.
I'm here for that.
You can pick whatever you'd like.
Hey, who knows? Maybe they'll go undefeated the rest of the year. Right?
Oh, sure. 20-0.
You know, it's getting on everybody. It really is. This is not an easy thing for anyone. I think frustrations are mounting all over the place. We actually, I got this audio during the break. One of the timeouts, I think, in the third quarter. I think everybody was just kind of giving up. Here's what they were saying.
Everyone just run around, and then somebody just shoot, maybe on three, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if that's great strategy.
I'm just going to be honest. That's probably the best thing they've drawn up in a timeout all season.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, wouldn't that be great? Yeah. Screw it. I'm done.
It's almost as good as, was it Stan Van Gundy? Just form an effing wall.
Just form a wall.
Everyone just run around, and then somebody just shoot. Maybe on three.
That's been maybe on three, maybe. I don't know. What's on tap? Brought to you by anything. But the...
I would love to see the team do that at least once this year. Remember, you know, playing, whether it was Little League or rec league basketball as a kid, you always put the hands in the center, guys.
Yes.
One, two, three, go. Yeah, yeah, whatever it was. Yeah, right. They need to bring that back.
Games tonight, do you care?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. We got the Rockets and Clippers at 7.
Good one. Go Clips.
Oh, but too bad. I'm going to be watching the Wizards and the Warriors.
So are the Kings as they fall a half game further. Out of ye olde playing.
Spurs Nuggets.
That's fun.
Sixers Pelicans.
Could be.
These are actually, dude, tonight's slate sucks.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Watch this.
I was trying to be positive.
Pacers Magic, Timberwolves Celtics, Grizzlies Knicks, Bulls Hawks, Sixers Pelicans, Hornets Bucks, Spurs Nuggets, Wizards Warriors, Rockets Clippers. There's like.
Is Bulls Hawks the best game on that slate?
I would say probably Nuggets Spurs, right?
I mean, Spurs have lost, what, like four straight? They're falling quick. You got the Hawks, you know, I think they're in the five right now. Yay. Yay, Hawks.
Yeah.
The Bulls are sitting at, I believe, 10, and they're like two games out of the four seed. Something like that. That might be your best matchup. Bogdan Bogdanovich versus Zach LaVine.
Kings leave today for Utah.
So I thought maybe forever. I was feeling better.
No. Still too soon. Too soon to relocation.
Here's they break the streak against the Jazz, right?
Of course they do.
That's what happens.
Right, they go ahead and beat the Jazz because that's what happens. They play the
Jazz. They're going to beat the Jazz by like 30. They're just going to trounce them.
They play the Jazz Saturday and then follow up against New Orleans Monday, Washington on Wednesday.
If they beat the Jazz tomorrow.
I give up.
What do we even talk about on Monday?
I'm quitting show business if they beat the Jazz.
What is the storyline there if they beat the Jazz on Saturday?
Just more, you know.
Like, how do you even break that down?
Honestly,
the losses, that's easy.
Hey, honest to God, this occurred to me last. I was really doing a deep mental dive on this last night. I was just hate watching the game and laughing about it with the family. And I'm like, you know, it just occurred to me. If there was some like secret Illuminati plot in a back room made 8 years ago where it was like, okay, you can keep the team, but you have to troll your fans for the next 8 years. Like you have to troll them. Like if a coach is doing well, right, fire him. Whether it's Michael Malone or Dave Yeager, fire them. If there's an obvious pick, draft pick, don't take it. We'll let you do De'Aaron Fox, but the Luka thing, lineup change, make some random lineup changes. Start a guy averaging a point and a half over the most likely rookie of the year winner. Put him back on the bench because your 3-point shooter would pout too hard if you put him on the bench. And we want you to go on the occasional like winning streaks. And then right when your fan base starts to re-engage, then we want you to lose 9 straight. And we want you to do it a couple times a year.
Against really bad teams that you should beat.
Really bad, like literally the worst teams in the league. And then right when your fan base is all ready to jump off a cliff, we want you to go on another winning streak again. Like if you think about it, Jay, my point is this. If there was some sort of Illuminati backroom mandate for the Kings to troll Kings fans for the past 8 years, would our past 8 years look much differently? I mean, maybe they bring back the bold jerseys.
I'd feel better about it if I found that out.
Right, but I'm saying if you think about it in the context that the Kings are trolling the fans on purpose,
it makes a little more sense.
Sure. So in the last 2 weeks, you've decided that this team is both cursed,
yes,
and part of an elaborate Illuminati plot
to troll the fans.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You want to cross over now?
Hey, you know what? My stuff makes more sense than the other stuff.
I can't argue that.
Yeah, let's do a crossover.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
Hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
Okay, guys, end of the week. We need a little palate cleanser, especially after that Kings game last night. So, for you, Dave, for you, Jay, the crossover today, you heard about the drought, the lack of ketchup that's out there? Apparently, during COVID here, we kind of lost our place and lost our way with ketchup, specifically ketchup packets. So the question is, how many ketchup packets do you guys currently have in your refrigerator? Or do you just have the bottle? Do you have any of those packets still in your fridge? And secondly, Dave, I know you have a very much of a ritual of when you go and get some takeout of how many things of ketchup, or is it ranch? I think it's ranch that you have. Let's share that story as well. But how many ketchup packets do you have in your fridge right now?
Sometimes I don't like it when people that know me really well expose me on the radio.
You expose
yourself.
Because
that's exactly what Jason's doing here.
You've exposed yourself on that several times with your weird dipping
habits. Please don't take it out of context, people. All right, let's start with the ketchup. I have a very specific drawer in my kitchen. It's a small drawer that is for condiment packages. So in there, I don't know how many ketchup packets are in there, but probably somewhere between 30 and 50. I also have Del Taco mild sauce, Taco Bell sauce, Arby sauce. Just when we have extra condiments, we throw it in that drawer.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have the bottle of ketchup. And by the way, since we're talking about condiments, and really this is going to take up the rest of the show. Heinz ketchup only, please. And just like Best Foods mayonnaise only. And if you bring Miracle Whip around me, I will just barf on your face. So condiments are very important. Now, when talking about the exclusivity, you know, what condiment to amount, it just depends on what the meal is. If I'm getting a superstar no lettuce, no onions with cheese
no
at
onions.
Carl's Jr., yeah, I don't like when I bite into them and they like string out. It bothers me. I will get the superstar with cheese, no lettuce, no onions, and fried zucchini instead of french fries. I need 6 things of ranch dressing. And yes, I'm willing to pay for them if they're doing that thing. At Arby's, cheddar melt, RBQ combination, I need a handful, an actual handful, which means at least 8 to 10, Arby sauce. I don't do the horsey sauce. I don't care. McDonald's 20-piece nuggets. I'm going to need 4 dipping sauces, and that's generally going to be a barbecue, a buffalo, and 2 ranch. Whopper, ketchup only. And as I said before, when I am using these condiments, I do not open the ketchup packets and put them on the little cardboard. I do not open up the ranch and then dip whatever I need to dip in the ranch. I will take a bite of food and I will squeeze the ketchup packet directly into my mouth, or I will sip the dressing from the, or condiment from the thing, which is exactly what everybody should do. There are little things that I do. There are little hacks that people need to get on board with. I wear 2 gloves when I golf. Why do I wear 2 gloves? Because I have sweaty hands. I get better grip. Why don't you wear 2 gloves is my point. When I golf, I also put a tee at the end of my club. There's a little hole there that fits a tee perfectly. That way I don't ever have to carry a tee around. Jay?
I'm not following that up.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
We all have different ways.
No, we all have different ways, and then there's what you do.
What do you mean, what I do?
Meaning the specifics and how specific you get with all of this is, it's different. The amount of thought, effort you put in on all that, it's different. Yeah, guys, we got some extra sauce lying around. I got a bottle of ketchup in the fridge. I got a bottle of mustard in the fridge. Mayonnaise.
What kind of mayonnaise?
The good kind. I don't know.
Best Foods is the only acceptable kind of mayonnaise.
I didn't buy it. The girl did.
Okay. Would you do me a favor? Check when you get home and text me. I'm just honestly curious. What kind of ketchup?
Heinz.
Good boy.
Heinz mustard, too.
Do you have any Dijon, grape poupon?
I don't know if we have Dijon. Actually, I think we do have Dijon.
Okay. Should always have that. Sriracha?
Yeah. Oh, dude. The
All right.
The wonderful significant other literally puts sriracha on everything.
Do you have ranch?
Yes.
What kind of ranch?
What's it? The popular one.
Hidden Valley?
Yes.
That's the only acceptable ranch. Do not change mayonnaises, ketchups, or ranches. Those all, they're the only acceptable ones are Hidden Valley, Best Foods, and Heinz. Don't screw around. Don't screw around. Well, fine. Let's throw it right back to, I saw it too. Let's throw it right back to Jason and Doug. The condiment question was excellent. As I said to Jay just now, the only acceptable mayonnaise is Best Foods. The only acceptable ketchup is Heinz. The only acceptable ranch is Hidden Valley. My question for you, gentlemen, I want your Mount Rushmore of condiments, and I do want you to rank them left to right in order. Four condiments you must have, and you're not allowed to have any other condiments the rest of your life. It could be soy sauce, sriracha, ranch, ketchup, must. You get my point. For Jay, for Dr. Pan, I'm Dave. Have a good weekend, everybody. I love you very much and appreciate you. We'll see you all Monday. Bye. Bye. No.